Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Colorado Avalanche beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports, trying to find a way to warm up here as I sit in my office somewhere in the Denver area, looking out my window to about a foot of snow, and it's still coming down. So for those of you that are in Colorado and listening to this, stay warm. We are coming, obviously, to you here on, well, not we, but me. I am coming to you here on Wednesday, November 6th. It's early in the afternoon. The Avalanche have wrapped up practice. I was not there. Colleen Flynn, my colleague over at Colorado Hockey Now, was there. We heard from Jared Bednar, and we've got a lot to talk about. We've got some updates from Bednar. We've got a big 6-3 victory over the Seattle Kraken that we got to chat about. So let's get started with today's practice, where, of course, yesterday we got to kind of touch on this to get the update of today's practice. Kale McCarr ended up leaving the game with an injury after recording two assists. He played his last shift somewhere midway to late second period, and then he disappeared off the bench. We didn't see him for the rest of the period. Came out early in the third, skated one shift for 29 seconds, and then was stapled to the bench. I remember there was a commercial break at one point where he kind of got off the bench, did a little bit of a twirl, trying to figure out whatever, you know, trying to test out whatever's ailing him ultimately. And whatever was ailing him was a lower body injury. And he tried it, went back to the bench, sat on the bench, talked to the trainer, and went off to the dressing room. So Kale McCarr, lower body injury, played 15 minutes and 7 seconds, 2 assists, 3 shots on goal, 8 other shot attempts. The Avalanche just absolutely hammered the Seattle Kraken for most of the night. It was very refreshing to see Colorado be the dominant team that they can be. So Kale McCarr, update on him last night was that there was no update yet. He tweaked something, was the way that Jared Bednar had mentioned and kind of described it. Today at practice, Bednar, it was an optional skate, so obviously, you know, we can't really account for who is and is not on the ice. But Bednar said that Kale McCarr will make the trip to Winnipeg. The Avalanche are traveling there this afternoon. They're getting out of Denver just as it starts to snow to go to Winnipeg, where it's probably even snowing twice as much. Who knows? So Kale McCarr is going on the trip. Will he play will be determined. If he plays will be determined tomorrow. But he is an option, and that in itself is good news, because if he doesn't play tomorrow, this says to me that it is a very minor thing. Of course, going into Winnipeg, the team that you beat in the playoffs, the team that you eliminated, the team that's going to want to get you back, and the team that has one loss in 12 games, you want your Kale McCarr in the roster or in the lineup. You want Kale McCarr on the team. I was going to say you want your full roster, but you don't have that, obviously. No Drouin, no Nichushkin, no Wood, no Colton. But you want Kale McCarr, your Kale McCarr, in the lineup and on the roster. So that would be a tough one to miss if he does miss it. But having him as an option is huge for the Avalanche. So that's a big update from Jared Bednar. The other one was pertaining to Gabriel Landeskog. Bednar said this morning on Altitude Sports Radio that he had, you know, suffered a setback, but it wasn't a setback, but it was a setback, but not a major setback. And he kind of went back and forth on that term. And then this afternoon at practice, he kind of said something along the lines of, I wouldn't call it a setback. It's more or less just part of the process of, you know, what Landeskog has to go through. You know, he hasn't been skating because something was bothering him. So he's been crushing it in the gym and doing what he has to do. He said he still expects him back this season, is hopeful he'll be back this season. So I don't really know what to make of the Landeskog news. You know, people are asking if we know more, if we're hammering the team for this. And the reality is we just don't have the information we should have. Let me say that a different way. We just don't have more information than what we're giving you, because this is what the team is giving us. And for all we know, this is what the team has too. This is a surgery, obviously, that is kind of very unique in its own way. It's not something that many players come back from. It's not something that, you know, we've seen a player sit for 2.5 years and return from. So it's all new territory. Obviously, the Lonzo Ball thing is great news in the NBA, having the surgery, you know, about 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it was before Gabe Landeskog, and he's been playing. but we just don't know what's happening with Landeskog to make like a legitimate conclusion that he is or is not going to play. Is this promising news? No, of course. It's not promising that it's November 6th and Landeskog isn't skating with the team, but it's also, you know, the reality is like, we just don't know what this process looks like. Like if Gabe Landeskog starts skating with the team on December 1st and they announce he's playing on whatever, December 20th, like, is anyone going to be surprised? Because I wouldn't. I just don't know what that process looks like when he starts to skate with the team and how long it's going to take him to feel good. And when they're comfortable doing it, you know, there's a lot of doctors watching this. This is a huge, valuable asset to the roster, not just to the team in terms of Gabe Landeskog, the player, but in terms of how much money this company, Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, has dished out to this one guy. And, you know, the tickets he sells, the jerseys, the merchandise he sells, Gabe Landeskog is a valuable asset and they're going to treat him as such. So I'm very interested and curious to see what happens there. Some other updates from practice. Jared Bednar did announce that Alexander Georgiev will get the start. I think this is the right move, simply because Georgiev played well against the Winnipeg Jets, and this is an opportunity for the Avs to say, look, for the coaching staff to look at Georgiev and say, look, hopefully Kale McCarr plays, but we got this, you know, Kale McCarr, Nathan MacKinnon doing their thing, 13-game point streaks, crushing it like hell. We got Arturi Lehkonen back, the power plays buzzing, Mikko Rantanen and scoring goals, the young guys like Ivan are scoring goals. We've got something going here. Go out there and win us a game against the best team in the NHL. It's a valuable test. Is it a risky one? Yes, kind of. But it's a worthy test to give Georgiev. Because, you know, the reality is, even if you want Justus Annan starting, you should be rooting for Georgiev. Even if he's going to be the backup, you want him playing well when he's in there. You want to be able to say, as a fan, if I believe that, you know, if you believe that Justus Annan is the guy, you should be able to say to yourself, I wish Bednar plays Justus 3 out of every 5 or 4 out of every 5 games. But you should also be able to say as a fan, but in the 1 or 2 out of every 5 games, that is not him. That is someone like Georgiev or perhaps Kaapo Kähkönen. I feel confident in that person winning games too. But at the same time, Justus Annan is our starter. Like, you should have that energy. Is it ideal that Georgiev is getting the tough team, the best in the NHL right now, after Annan gets the struggling Nashville Predators and the struggling Seattle Kraken? No, of course not. But I think it's a worthy test. I think it's a worthy gamble to tell Georgiev, go out and win this damn thing. You beat these guys 4 times in a row last year. We've got something going here. Go out and win us a game. So we'll see how that goes. The backup goalie will be Justus Annan. Kaapo Kähkönen is staying back. He's not going on the trip. This is, of course, a one-game road trip. The Avs play Thursday. They fly right back Thursday night. And then they play, I believe, Saturday. Yes. They play Saturday against the... Goodness gracious, I'm losing track of who they play nowadays. The Carolina Hurricanes. I totally forgot about that game. So they're in Winnipeg tomorrow. They fly right back. I don't know if they're going to practice Friday, and then they play on Saturday against the Carolina Hurricanes at Ball Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. That's going to be a tough game, and that's probably the one they're saving Justus Annan for, depending on how Georgiev does against Winnipeg. So either way, Georgiev was going to get into one of these games. May as well give him Winnipeg and say, go beat the team you beat a couple, you know, 4 games in a row last year, a few months ago. And then maybe Carolina goes to Justus, or maybe Georgiev has an outstanding performance, a shutout, something where Bednar can say we're riding the hot hand against Carolina. So that's kind of the updates from practice. Jonathan Drouin, Miles Wood, who's the other one? Val Nichushkin, obviously, Kaapo Kähkönen. The guys that aren't playing aren't going on the trip. They're all staying back, and they're going to practice with Toby Peterson, the skills coach. The guys going are the guys that are going to play, obviously, 2 goalies and the roster that they're taking. So I would assume Shillington and Ludvig, one or both of them, will be on the trip. Just in case Kale McCarr can't go, you have a guy to insert into the lineup there to replace him. But other than that, it should be a pretty similar lineup. You know, not that other than that, as in it's a tiny thing. It's frickin' Kale McCarr. But other than Kale McCarr possibly playing or possibly not, and of course Georgiev starting at Annan being the backup on the bench, you should expect the same forward group. You should expect the same lineup unless something happens between now and tomorrow, which is probably a low chance. With this team, it's probably a high chance for all I know. But yeah, if you look at the point standings, Nathan MacKinnon's number 1, 25 points. Kale McCarr, number 2, 23 points. Nikita Kucherov, number 3, 22 points. They've all played 13 games. And then Kirill Kaprizov at 12 games has 21 points. So MacKinnon and Makar are number one and two in points. They're numbers one and three in points per game because Natchez has 20 in 11 games for the Carolina Hurricanes. But they're absolutely crushing it. They're killing it. They are unbelievable this season. Nathan MacKinnon had 5 assists yesterday. He has 19 on the year. Makar has 18. Third place is Mark Stone. He's got 15. So it's a little bit of a drop-off, 3 to 4 assists down from both Nate and Kale. Going to yesterday's game, Juuso Saarinen gets the starting goal, makes 17 saves on 20 shots. I wish he had that save late in the game after Parker Kelly destroyed his body, making like 5 or 6 blocks. The reality is that Seattle got that third goal. I love seeing wins where the Avalanche let in 2 or fewer goals, especially with the goaltending issues they had. So it would have been nice to see Eustace end with a 900 save percentage on the night, but of course that won't be the case. It'll be an 850 with that third goal. But all in all, he played well. He was fine, but he didn't need to do too much because Colorado was the better team, start to finish. They get the first goal. Chris Wagner assisted by Nathan MacKinnon. And then Seattle responds back. Right after Seattle responds, Ivan responds. Gets his third goal of the season, assisted by Nathan MacKinnon as well, which is the common theme of all these goals. So pretty damn good game by the Avs. Pretty good start. And it's refreshing to see them be the team that's responding back to goals against rather than the team that's scoring and then having the other team respond to that right away. So it's nice to see the Avalanche get off to a start like that. The only time throughout the game where I had that like, oh, here we go again moment was early in the second period when Seattle quickly tied it up at 2-2. There was like a weird, I don't want to call it a turnover by Devon Taves, but there was that battle behind the net and the player beat out Taves for it, centered it, and it was a goal. I didn't love that, but obviously I'm grasping at straws here because from there on, like, the Avalanche just took complete control. That was Chandler Stephenson behind the net setting up Jared McCann in front of the goal. But then Colorado, you know, they take a penalty. It was that Sam Girard tripping call where his skate kind of came out and tripped the guy. Seattle didn't score on that power play. And then shortly after, Mikko Rantanen draws a penalty. He gets hauled down. It was also a trip, I believe, by Shane Wright. And who else but Arturi Lehkonen from MacKinnon and Makar in the slot, in the bumper position between the hash marks. He was playing the net front, goes into that spot right between the two circles, gets a pass from MacKinnon, shoots it. Grubauer gets a piece of it. Then it trickles into the goal. 3-2 Colorado. Loved the celly. Loved the emotion from Arturi Lehkonen. Gets the Avalanche the lead. A couple minutes later, another penalty. Well, not a couple minutes later. It was exactly a couple minutes later. 7:44, a minute 58 after the Shane Wright penalty. Chandler Stephenson called for slashing. Colorado back on the power play. Mikko Rantanen. God, I'm so sorry. I'm all over the place. Mikko Rantanen finally scores off of a beauty of a setup, a beauty of a play. Puts it in for his 5th of the season, first goal in 9 games, second goal since his opening night hat trick. You love to see Mikko Rantanen producing because you need more of that. Mikko gets a power play goal. Seattle challenges it for offside. The refs determine it was offside, and then they go back. The Avalanche, Jared Bednar, Kale Makar start to hammer away like, hey, you guys got to rewind the tape a little bit because the only reason why Arturi Lehkonen was quote-unquote offside and entered the zone before the puck was because Yanni Gord took a shot that missed the net, rimmed around the boards, went all the way back to the Seattle zone, didn't touch the goalie, didn't touch the defenseman, didn't touch anybody. So even though it was a shot toward the Avs net that rimmed around the boards, it was technically Seattle bringing the puck back into their own zone, which does not account for offsides. If the Avalanche, like if let's put it this way, if Nathan MacKinnon is cherry picking for whatever reason and the puck's at the neutral zone, if Mikko Rantanen steals the puck at the neutral zone and passes it into the offensive zone to MacKinnon, of course that's offside. MacKinnon is in the offensive zone. He's cherry picking and Mikko gave him the puck. But if a Seattle player accidentally knocks the puck down into his zone, Nathan MacKinnon can just pick it up and go shoot and score. It's not an offside if the defending team puts the puck in their zone, even if you're in the zone before the puck. That's the best way to put it, and that's ultimately what happened. Yanni Gord took a shot, missed the net, missed everybody, rimmed around the boards. Arturi Lehkonen tracked the puck. Key here is Arturi did not touch the puck until it went into the offensive zone, which was also, you know, good instincts by him. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but had he touched it before it went over the blue line and then he was offside, then it's an offside. But he didn't touch it. He kind of let the puck rim around the boards. He entered the Seattle zone before the puck. The puck followed him. He picked it up. And obviously that led to the eventual goal, you know, 30 seconds later, whatever it was. The Avs had cycled the puck in the zone for a little bit. So nice goal there for Mikko Rantanen. Gets his first in 9 games. And then there was no other goals until the 6-on-5 attack late in the game when Matty Beniers finishes a setup from Montour and McCann and makes it 4-3. But then Mikko Rantanen from Lehkonen and McKinnon gets the empty netter 24 seconds later. And then Seattle, for good measure, Brandon Montour gets a called for charging. And with 2 seconds left on the clock, Kovalenko from Mittelstadt and Manson on the power play. I love Jared Bednar here giving some other guys a chance. He had Manson and Girard out there with O'Connor, Mittelstadt, and Kovalenko, and they still produced. The power play has just been unbelievable this season, even when Jared Bednar throws some makeshift unit out there, including Josh Manson on the PP, because he's got a 2-goal lead and there's less than a minute left in the game. So Kovalenko gets his second of the year. Casey Mittelstadt, 9th assist in 14 games. Shout out to that guy. Josh Manson's up to 4 assists. The Avalanche double up the Seattle Kraken 6-3. Big win, big game. Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, 13-game point streaks. They are climbing the history books. Nathan MacKinnon, 5 assists. First 5-assist game for an Avalanche since 2003 when Peter Forsberg did it against the Chicago Blackhawks. Love seeing MacKinnon break records that were set by Peter Forsberg. So big win there for the Avalanche. Obviously, all eyes right now are on Cale Makar and the status of his injury. But things are looking up. You know, we talked the other day about Val Nichushkin. Jared Bednar announced that November 15th will be his return game. That's in 9 days. The Avalanche play on the 7th. They play on the 9th, the 11th, the 13th, and then it's Val time. 4 more games remaining. You hope to get Jonathan Drouin back between now and then as well. That would be huge because then you have Val, you have Lehkonen, you have Mikko, and you have Drouin. You have your top 4 wingers all healthy, all back, with Casey Mittelstadt playing as incredible as he's been all season and Nathan MacKinnon dominating the NHL the way he has with his point production. That would be massive. And that could all happen within the next 4 to 5 games. You just hope Cale Makar is healthy. You hope Alexander Georgiev figures it out, has a good game against the Winnipeg Jets. Things have kind of calmed down a little bit around the goaltending. You want to keep it that way. Have they been amazing and stealing games? Not quite yet, but you want to see that start to happen. Starts with a big game in Winnipeg against the Jets where Georgiev will start. So with that, the last thing I want to do is plug a article that I wrote on Colorado Hockey Now. I'm going to try to do this, you know, after at the end of every podcast. I often forget sometimes, but there was something that reminded me last week that, I'm just reading something here. There was something that reminded me last week about the Matt Duchene trade. And then I was like, wait, we're in October and it's almost November and the anniversary is coming out. And lo and behold, Tuesday, November 5th, the day the Avalanche doubled up the Seattle Kraken, was 7 years to the day that Matt Duchene left in the middle of a New York Islanders game against the Avalanche at Barclays and in Brooklyn, and was traded to the Ottawa Senators in that 3-team trade right there and then. So I remembered that, and I looked into it, and I thought of an idea. I wanted to talk to Sam Girard about the anniversary of the trade. So I wrote about Sam Girard. I wrote about this in my Dean's Daily, which is a daily column that I do every morning on Colorado Hockey Now. It usually comes out around 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. or something of that sort. And I spoke about kind of the process to get that interview set up on November 4th, the day before the article went up. I went into the dressing room. This is the same practice at Family Sports on Monday, the one where Bednar had announced that where Nichushkin joined the team to practice, which I forgot to mention a minute ago, and Bednar announced November 15th would be his return day. So I went in there looking for Sam Gerard. He was already gone. So I, you know, I pulled Avs PR aside and I kind of explained what I wanted to write about and how it was, you know, very short notice, but very time sensitive. Like, it's November 4th. This article needs to be written today to be published on November 5th, the 7-year anniversary of the trade, the 7th anniversary of the trade. So PR said they'll go looking for Gerard. They went and pulled him out of wherever he was, probably in like the gym or something. And he came and I spoke to him and he was incredible. He loved talking about it. He started the interview with, "Oh my God, has it already been 7 years?" I said, "Yeah, right." And, you know, we talked for about 10 minutes. Then Jared Bednar spoke. He gave all those updates. After he finished all those updates, I got Jared Bednar exclusively in the hallway one-on-one. And I said to Jared, you know, tomorrow is the 7-year anniversary of the Matt Duchene trade. And Jared goes, "Fuck, has it been that long already?" And he just like couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe it. It was kind of crazy. So I talked to Jared also one-on-one for a good 5 or 6 minutes. Also asked Nathan MacKinnon about Sam Gerard and just kind of got some words from him as well. Put together this article. It's on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. It's titled, what is it titled? I want to read it out. 7 years later, Samuel Gerard reflects on trade and lasting impression with the Avalanche. I will mention this one is behind the paywall for Colorado Hockey Now. It's available for CHN Plus subscribers. To be a CHN Plus subscriber, you just got to click on the subscribe button. It's $4 a month or $40 for an annual membership. These are the types of articles that you're going to get from myself and my colleague, Colleen Flynn, for subscribing to CHN Plus. You know, 70 to 80% of our articles are all free. And they're just day-to-day content that you'll see, but these types of articles are the ones you'll get from behind a paywall. And I would love for you guys to jump on board. I promise you it'll be worth the few dollars a month and something that I look forward to doing more of. So go ahead and check out ColoradoHockeyNow.com for more on that. Again, the article is titled 7 years Later, Samuel Gerard Reflects on Trade and Lasting Impression with the Avalanche. With that, I'm going to put an end to the podcast here. If you made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little hearts. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out ya.